Good morning, everyone. My name is Sam Powell, and I serve as one of the evangelists of the New York City Church of Christ. And it's an honor for me to come and share with you on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. As you can see, I've tried to look my best today to give honor to God, and prayerfully it's working out for me. I don't know, but wanted to kind of spiff up a little bit. We have a very important message to share with all of you today, and I appreciate everyone who's tuned in to be a part of our service today. Prayerfully, your spirits will be uplifted and God's word will encourage your heart. Now, we're going to talk about the resurrection today, and I think that in view of what's going on in our world, there couldn't be a more appropriate subject for us to cover. You know, this COVID-19 virus has taken thousands of lives. Many families are struggling, not being able to be there for their loved ones or to even give final goodbyes. How tragic. And it can appear to be a time of total despair and hopelessness. And I'm here to tell you today that as in all situations, our God provides answers. God has given us the answer to life. He also has also given us the answer to death. And that's where the subject of the resurrection comes in. Because in Mark chapter 16, which is what we're going to look at today for a few minutes, we see the incredible story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. An event that changes history, that changes life for all human beings. And in Mark 16, beginning of verse 1, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. You know, some have called them the spice girls because they were bringing spices to honor Jesus and to complete the embalmment, because things had happened so quickly the day before, a couple of days before. It says, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. How amazing is this story? These women, they go to this tomb, they're expecting to find the body of Jesus. An angel is there and he tells them, you're looking for Jesus Nazarene. He's not here. He has risen by the power of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus was raised to life. The scriptures go on to say, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This was so overwhelming to them. This was so staggeringly unbelievable to them that they just ran and fled. What has happened? What is going on here? And then the story continues, and it says, when Jesus rose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she'd seen him, they did not believe it. They were so overcome by sorrow. The Bible says she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and still weeping. He's been raised from the dead. Jesus is alive. But just imagine them trying to understand, comprehend in their minds how Jesus who had they just seen die, now 3 days later has been raised from the dead. They could not comprehend it. They could not believe it. And so later on, Jesus appears to them, the Bible says, in Mark 16, verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. And then he told them to go into all the world and tell the good news of my death, my burial, and my resurrection. It took some work for Jesus to get them to a point of faith. Could you imagine you going to a funeral, someone being buried, and then 3 days later you see them walking the streets? This is how remarkably miraculous this story was, and how difficult it was for them to even think that this could happen. And so I want to help you to understand really two different points here. I want us to take a minute to look at the life of the disciples before the resurrection, and then to look at their lives after the resurrection. Because before the resurrection, we see men who are really at a bad place. I mean, Judas, he goes, he betrays Jesus with a kiss. The Roman soldiers come and arrest Jesus. He's taken, he's put on trial. You know, he's exchanged for Barabbas. Then Jesus he's mocked, he's ridiculed, he's flogged, and then he's brutally crucified. The Bible says in Mark 14:50 that after Jesus was arrested, it says, then everyone deserted him and fled. I mean, these guys were so afraid, so scared, because they saw their great leader being taken away in the Roman custody. And they didn't know what the future held. We call it Good Friday, but I'm going to tell you, Good Friday was not a good day for Jesus' disciples. It was a bad day. It was a difficult day. We look back on it now and we praise God for the cross, but from a human perspective on that day, disciples were reeling. They had given up. They saw the worst things happen to the best person they'd ever known. They saw the most devastating things happen to the strongest person they'd ever known. They saw the cruelest things happen to the most loving and kind person they'd ever known. And even among their own number, Peter, the courageous one, the impetuous one, the one who'd walked on water, the one who had proclaimed, as Jesus even asked them about the church. And, you know, Peter was the one who got the answer right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, who do men say the Son of Man is? Peter knew from through the Spirit. He got it right. This was the one who said, Lord, I will never desert you. The most courageous one. Now he has shrunk back and has denied Jesus, not once, but three times. The crowds that had shouted, Hosanna, praise be to Jesus. Let's make him king at one point, they said. Now they're shouting, crucify, crucify him. They're fearful. They're withdrawn. They're isolated. They have no hope. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. To them, the dream is gone. I mean, what they had believed and hoped for and had held on to, it was all erased. And there they were with nowhere to turn. You know, I think for many people, life is like Good Friday. They don't have hope. They don't have faith. They don't have a vision for the future. They're in despair. They're overwhelmed with sorrow. That is not how God wants us to live. That is not where God wants us to be. The disciples thought the movie was over. The movie was not over. God, the director of life, still had some final scenes that he still was going to lead them through. You know, I remember watching the movie Infinity War. Avengers, Infinity War. And at the end of the movie, I thought, it can't end like this. It can't end like this. And thankfully, there was a second movie, Infinity Endgame, where, if I'm spoiling it for you, well, too late, the Avengers come back and they do win. And I think for us and for the disciples, you know, God was saying, it's not going to end like this. It can't end like this. And praise God, it did not end like that. I'm here to tell you the movie was not over yet. God brought about a different ending. And that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, I encourage you, there's an old movie you can find on the internet. I mean, not a movie, an old sermon that you can find on the internet. And the title of it is, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming.
Man, for them, Friday was a dark day. But praise God, Resurrection Sunday was coming. And so after Resurrection Sunday, oh, you see such a transformation in these men's lives. And I believe it's the same transformation that God wants to see in our lives. They become men full of hope, full of faith, full of courage. They're radically different. And I think that's where God wants us to be in the midst of even the greatest storm, to never lose hope, to never doubt. In Luke 24, beginning at verse 5, it says, and this is the contemporary English version. It says, the women were afraid and bowed to the ground, but the men said, why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus isn't here. He has been raised from the dead. Remember that while he was still in Galilee, he told you, the Son of Man will be handed over to sinners who will nail him to a cross, but 3 days later, he will rise. Then they remembered, the Bible says, what Jesus had said. What a great message. The angel says Jesus is alive. He is risen. That is the message of the resurrection. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Jesus, who was dead, has now been raised to life. And because Jesus has been raised to life, we can be raised to life. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because Jesus conquered it, now we can conquer it. Sam, someone may ask me, bro, what convinces you that Jesus was raised from the dead? You know, there are many convincing proofs that Jesus was raised from the dead. But one that convinces me as much as any is the change of life that I see in these disciples. When I see the radical transformation of their lives, to me that is evidence that this thing was real. In Acts 1 and verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days. And over that 40 days, their lives were transformed. You know, the doubt was gone. And you're going to see that these men become courageous, bold, proclaimers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To them, it was not a hoax. Now, it's reality. It's true. And man, they began to live like it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he says, for what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, because all of this, according to the scriptures, was prophesied. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared, he goes on to say, to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. What a service that must have been. What a day that must have been. When Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the believers at the same time, no wonder Christianity exploded. No wonder they turned the world upside down. Because more than 500 of them witnessed the risen Lord. And they went out and boldly proclaimed that truth. He goes on and says, then he appeared to James and then to the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me as the one abnormally born. Where did Paul get his passion and zeal and conviction from? Oh, I believe he was already a man full of conviction. But after seeing the risen Lord, we know his life was totally turned around. What a conversion story that is. But it's because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul became the man that he was. If there's any doubt in your mind that the resurrection is a fact, look at the lives and the testimony and the actions of the people who saw Jesus raised from the dead, who saw the risen Savior. Look at their lives. Look at what they did now because of their faith in the Lord. You know, the apostles in Acts 5, they're brought before the Sanhedrin. I mean, and they're told, stop preaching this story. We don't want to hear it. We command you to no longer proclaim this man's name. And what did Peter and all the apostles say in Acts 5:29? Says, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. This is that same cowardly Peter. This is that same Peter who was shrinking back and had gone back to fishing. He's now standing up, praising the Lord, preaching his conviction. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, to whom God has given to those who obey him. What a change. What a turnaround. I tell you what, the resurrection is what we hold on to. You know, I did a funeral just this past month. Our good brother, Ernie Reyes, who served as a deacon in the Bronx, passed away. What a great man of God. And he and his wife, Marie, were wonderful, are wonderful servants in God's kingdom. She still serves. And it was a different kind of funeral because of the virus, but I was able to say to Miss Marie and the family what Jesus says in John 11. And I praise God I was able to say this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's what Jesus says, and it is true. If you believe in him, you will never die. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death. Another scripture that we share so much at funerals, and I share with them, is John 14, verse 1, where Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. There are many rooms. Jesus has gone on to prepare a place for us. We're going to be raised to a new life, given a new body, and we're going to spend eternity with God. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death. We have the hope of the resurrection. The resurrection says Jesus conquered hell. Jesus conquered sin. Jesus conquered death. And because he did, we can too. You know, I want to leave you with this. The angel says, go back and tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that Jesus is going ahead. Go ahead, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. If there was anyone who needed to hear this message, it was Peter. He's mentioned by name here. Peter needed a comeback. And because of the resurrection, Jesus, Peter was able to come back and to lead God's people to preach that great sermon in Acts 2 and to usher in the kingdom of God. You may need a comeback today. You may need a comeback from doubt, a comeback from failure, a comeback from disappointment. You may need a comeback in your marriage, a comeback with your kids or believing that they can come back, a comeback from drug addiction, from alcoholism, or whatever you may need. I'm here to tell you there's resurrection power through Jesus Christ that can be yours. Our hope is in God, who can raise us from sin, from doubt, from disappointment, but he can also raise us from the dead. Let's hold on to that truth, and may it inspire and encourage us each and every day of our lives. As we commune together, let's remember not just Jesus' death and burial, but also his resurrection. Let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this good news that your Son, Jesus Christ, came and that he lived and he died, was buried, and raised again. And God, as we commune, we praise you for his love and your love, that he was willing to go to a cross to die for all our sins so that all of our sins could be forgiven, past, present, and future. And God, we thank you for his blood that was shed on our behalf. But God, we also thank you for the hope of eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We praise you, we honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.